In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Notice he says 3 days there, and if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for diverse of them came from far, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Somehow they don't even seem to remember what happened back in chapter 6 with the feeding of the 5,000. Here we have the feeding of the 4,000, 5 being the number of grace in biblical numerics, and 4 being the number of earth. 1,000 is divine completeness and the glory of God, as you can see on page 232 of the book Biblical Mathematics. Verse 5, and he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. That's spiritual completeness in biblical numerics. The 7 loaves having to do with the truth, the very elect, the 7,000 written of in Romans chapter 11 are aware of, 7 being spiritual completeness. There are 7 trumpets written of in the book of Revelation, and it's at the 7th trumpet that the true Christ returns, completing this flesh age. That's when all are changed into spiritual bodies, as we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. And he commanded the people to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. Notice Christ didn't feed the multitude, it was the disciples. Christ expects you, after absorbing the word of God, to distribute it amongst his other children, planting those seeds of truth from the word of God, as we learned back in the parable of the sower. And they had a few small fishes, and this comes from that same word we saw in chapter 6. Notice it's a few small fishes this time, rather than 2, meaning there's going to be a deeper meaning still. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. Again, spiritual completeness. And when you're fed with the bread of life, which is the word of God, Christ being the living word, it purges you of the deception. And in this case, we see a complete purging of the deception. Only the lamb slain was found worthy to open the book which had the 7 seals and to loose the seals thereof, to open up your understanding to the truth of God's word here in this final generation, the generation of the fig tree. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. Again, 4 is the number of earth, and he sent them away. And as it's written in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. Zerubbabel meaning one who was born in Babel, born in confusion, but he came out of confusion because of the truth of God's word. Only Christ can open that door of truth in your mind, as it's written in Revelation chapter 3, and shut the door of deception, bringing you out of confusion and into the truth. With those 7 spiritual completeness, the 7,000 written of in Romans 11, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth, and the number of earth is 4. Then he goes on in the remaining verses of Zechariah chapter 4 to describe the 2 witnesses, giving you the time frame, which is the second half of the hour of temptation. And you have to remember, once God speaks through the Zadok, who are the very elect, the 7,000, or perhaps even 232 out of the 7,000, that's when the 144,000 get the complete truth, whereby they cease to waver during the last half hour of the hour of temptation, which is that silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Remember, 7 is spiritual completeness. I'm repeating that for a reason, and this is written of in Daniel chapter 11, verses 32 through 35, that the wavering is to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, the 7th trumpet, that is to say, the 144,000 being those that are redeemed from the earth, being the first fruits of this world age. The very elect, the Zadok, those 7,000 were the first fruits of the first world age during Satan's first rebellion. rebellion when they fought him then. So in other words, once Satan appears as the false Christ in Jerusalem at the sixth trumpet, God utilizes the Zadok to activate the 144,000. They will have already absorbed the seven seals prior to the five-month-long hour of temptation, just not the complete understanding that brings it all together for them in their forehead when God speaks through the Zadok. And if you read Revelation 10 with that in mind, it becomes obvious that the seven thunders are what God will say through them at that time. The few small fishes written of in Mark chapter 8 being more than two, which for one thing has to do with the deception in the first half of the hour of temptation. For Satan to deceive the world into thinking that he's Christ returned, there may very well, for all we know, be a decoy antichrist just before the sixth trumpet, to get you to think that the sixth trumpet is the seventh trumpet. Now that's hypothetical, but you want to take into account anything within the realm of sanity, whereby you're not deceived. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples, we're on verse 10, and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth, remember who they are, and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Notice their motive here. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now you have to picture in your mind's eye Christ walking away from the Pharisees and entering into the ship again to get the full meaning, because as you can see in your companion Bible, there shall no sign be means if there shall be a sign given, which is a Hebrew idiom, ye will see a sign, but the sentence is left unfinished. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Elsewhere, Christ would say, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Here in Mark chapter 8, verse 13, it says, and he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. And in Jonah chapter 1, you'll see Jonah entering into a ship as well, after which he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And we'll see Christ's death, burial, and resurrection spoken of by Christ ahead of time in verse 31 of this chapter. And remember the 3 days in verse 2 of this chapter and the few small fishes written of in verse 7, Jonah being in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights in the positive sense, because those few small fishes are symbolic of understanding that Jesus is the true Christ. And if they say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe them not. You won't need anyone to tell you that Christ has returned, because all will be changed into spiritual bodies at the seventh trumpet. Verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? That's your mind. Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? What did he begin to say in verse 15? Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. First it was 12, then it was 7 baskets full of fragments. That has to do with the leaven, that is to say the false doctrine of the Pharisees, who are the Kenites, and of the leaven of Herod, which as we covered earlier is clearly a type of Antichrist. So on a deeper level, the 144,000, I believe, are delivered up locally after they're activated by what God says through the 7,000, or perhaps even 232 out of the 7,000 who are delivered all the way up to Antichrist. And that's why he says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod, the synagogue of Satan and the false Christ. Notice he says, take heed there. And he also says that in verse 9 of Mark chapter 13, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony against them, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Verse 11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, whether it be all the way up to the false Christ or locally to the synagogues, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, and it happens in the last half of the hour of temptation, the last 2.5 months, that is to say, that speak ye, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, which is one of Satan's names, and the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Not literally, but death is one of Satan's names. That you'll find written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, for staying true to the true Christ and waiting for the true husband, remaining a virgin bride, spiritually speaking. But he that shall endure unto the end until the seventh trumpet, the same shall be saved, taking part in the first resurrection whenever the true Christ returns. So the 12 baskets of fragments and the 7 baskets of fragments are the deception that comes out of one whenever they come into the truth of God's word. Call it deprogramming if that helps you to better understand. Verse 22 of Mark chapter 8, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, think spiritually here, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, Christ being the anointed one, anointing him with his own substance, and he put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. So this blind man can now see clearly, not just physically, but spiritually as well. And this ties back to the deeper truth concerning the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 and the events leading up to Christ's second advent. The true Christ being the tree of life, who returns at the seventh trumpet, Satan being the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He appears before that at the sixth trumpet, and you're either part of one family tree or the other. The word of God is filled with analogies using trees to symbolize people. And you want to always remember that for every positive, there's a negative. Remember, Christ said, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, bringing forth fruit for the kingdom of heaven. This would be one who is part of the many-membered body of the true Christ, God's family tree. What is the fruit? It's planting those seeds of truth that we learned of back in the parable of the sower, whereby God's other children can come out of the confusion as well. That's the will of God, that none should perish, but all come to repentance through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and you can find this written of in the first Psalm as well, and in Jeremiah chapter 17, as well as many other places. But Christ says in Matthew chapter 7, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. This is one who is a part of Satan's family tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not just the Kenites, they're the natural branches, but there's also those grafted in to Satan's family tree through atheism, false religion, and the deception that happens at the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial when Satan appears in Jerusalem as the false Christ. So this blind man can now see clearly, not just physically, but spiritually also. And remember, in the last chapter, Christ healed a deaf man and gave him ears to hear. Here in this eighth chapter, he heals a blind man and gives him eyes to see. To repeat verse 18, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? Then he goes into the loaves and fishes, symbolic of the 7 seals, and the 7 loaves, symbolic of the 7 thunders. Thunder being the voice of God, which will be transmitted throughout the world just before the true Christ returns for a testimony against them, as we read of in Mark chapter 13. Remember, you're not to premeditate what you'll say, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking at that time, which is why John in Revelation 10, when he heard the 7 thunders, was about to write, but then he was told, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered and write them not. If what the Holy Spirit is going to say at that time through God's elect was written down, then they would read it, trying to figure out which part they might say at that time, and that's premeditating, which you're not supposed to do. So it makes sense to me. I don't know about you. Study to show yourself approved. Verse 27 of Mark chapter 8, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, that's Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. It wasn't time for him to be revealed. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again, which is what he meant by the sign of Jonah. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And Peter would later on chop off the ear of Malchus, letting his emotions get the better of him. And that's even a type of the deadly wound. Remember, the deadly wound is by a sword, and the fifth vial is the deadly wound, and is poured out upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was filled with darkness. Malchus means kingdom. Pretty obvious that that's a type of the deadly wound, letting you know that it happens just before the middle of Daniel's 70th week, which was 7 years, but it's been shortened to a 5-month period. So just before Satan appears in Jerusalem as the false Christ is when the deadly wound to the political beast most likely transpires. The end of the week in which Christ was crucified is when he resurrected after those 3 days and three nights. And at the end of Daniel's 70th week, which was 7 years, but now it's 5 months, the first resurrection occurs when the true Christ returns. So don't let your emotions get the better of you during that time, and do not pretend participate in the deadly wound to the political system. The negative part of God's plan must be fulfilled. Don't fight against it as Zedekiah did in the book of Jeremiah. Remember what happened to him? He had both his eyes gouged out by Nebuchadnezzar, who was a type of Antichrist, and he died in Babylon. He died in confusion, being spiritually blind. Nowhere in God's word are you told to fight against the one world political system. Christ gave us our marching orders in Mark 13. We read it just a moment ago. Remember? Verse 34, And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Notice he's saying this right after Peter let his emotions get the better of him. You have to deny yourself and put God first no matter what happens. Disciple means a disciplined one. So discipline yourself to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, so you can be blessed. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And this also looks forward to not caving into the peer pressure during the sixth trumpet. That's why Christ brings the soul into it. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. In the second advent, when the true Christ returns at the seventh trumpet as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, immediately after the hour of temptation.